The following is a presentation of Remnant. Finish the work you have started in me as I'm on my way to you.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
A couple of weeks ago, it was my turn to preach, and I preached a message called Rise and Shine. It was all about what men wished their wives knew about them. And when we walked out of here, no less than three women threatened me with bodily harm. Which I took seriously because I'm not stupid. Okay. So, I said that the next time I preach, I would help out the ladies because I knew there's balance. So, ladies, today's your turn. Guys, if you decide to threaten me with bodily harm, remember, I am trained, and I do have weapons. Okay, now that we've got that out of the way, let's look at today's picture, clowning, and the subtitle underneath that was, he had always supported her choices. I'm not sure that I would support necessarily my wife being a clown, although she's put up with me being a clown, just not in makeup for all of our marriage. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. The hashtags for today are Awkward Family and at Remnant Church, at Jerry Gotze. And we want to encourage you to, also hashtag clowning. We encourage you to tweet the message. That is how we get our message out on social media, so we want to encourage you to do that. All right, Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Now look at verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We're going to talk today about the special place that women have in God's heart and how men should respond to that special place. Let's pray. God, thanks. We ask that you'll be with us for the next few moments, God. I pray that you will use this time, Father, to strengthen families. Lord, for the young men who are not yet married, God, that you would speak to their hearts about how to treat the women in their life. Father, bless all of us this morning as we hear from you. We ask it in your name. Amen. I was in a local bookstore, and actually I think it was Barnes & Noble San Diego, and I saw a book entitled Everything Men Know About Women. It was a thick book. So I picked it up, and all the pages were blank. Well, that probably about sums it up. And look, ladies, I'm not going to pretend to say that I'm an expert on women. I'm not. I've been married to the same one for 32 years. I have no idea what makes her tick. I just know how to survive without getting in a lot of trouble. Okay? So what I'm going to share from you is kind of what I have learned over the years and what I feel like God has to say for us. Now, there are three principles in this first verse we talked about. First of all, God created two human creatures, one being a man, the second being a woman. God created both of them. Secondly, men and women were created with a need for each other. God said it's not good for man to be alone because he's messing stuff up. Ladies, that was your chance to say amen, and you missed it. And then third, most importantly, men and women are equally valued. One is not greater than the other. Somehow along the line, we have figured out, us men, that we are somehow a notch above women. That's not smart, guys. Let me tell you something. Women have babies. If men had babies, there would be one baby in the whole world, and we would go and tell our friends, don't do it, it hurts, dude. It's like crazy hurts. I had kidney stones which they say is the closest a man comes to childbirth. And I gained a huge respect for my wife because she voluntarily had a second child. There's no way I would voluntarily say, oh, yeah, let me have kidney stones again. No, not going to happen. Every pain, discrimination, abuse, and misunderstanding which women have encountered in this world is because men have misunderstood that we were created equally. Now, in the home, is there a hierarchy that's set out in Scripture? Absolutely. But it's an idea of us working together, not of men holding women under their thumb. And that's the way we've always thought about it. And so hopefully we'll kind of dispel some of those myths. The difference in men and women can be seen in the way they approach marriage. A woman approaches her husband hoping that he will change. When Linda and I got married, she looked at me and thought, oh, I hope he'll change. Men get married hoping their wife will never change, and they're both wrong. Women change, men don't. For the most part, we're pretty much ladies. Ladies just say, I want to get to the altar, then I'll alter him. And it doesn't work, ladies. It doesn't work. We're going to be the same morons and pigs we were when you married us. God bless us. It's just the way it goes. Man went to a trade fair and discovered an interesting exhibit. There was a woman's brain and a man's brain. The woman's brain was being offered for $200. The man's brain cost $50,000. The man looked at his wife and said, see, man's brain $50,000, woman's brain $200. We're worth more. The woman said, yeah, I got to figure out why. So she went to the salesman and said, why is the man's brain worth $50,000? He said, well, it's easy. It hasn't been used. This is a follow-up message. It really is a follow-up message to the message from 2 weeks ago. So if you weren't here, you may want to grab that off the website. But I'm going to give you four things that a woman needs in every relationship. And the first thing is that women need to receive love. Now, affection is one of the greatest needs a person is born with, and it's a need we never outgrow. We always need affection. When a woman knows someone truly loves her, it sends a powerful message of care, protection, and concern. Now, not all of us necessarily grew up in a loving home. Maybe you grew up in a dysfunctional home. My dad left when I was 8. And I spent a long time working out how to be... Once we got married... I would love to tell you I was a perfect husband from the jump. We've been married 32 years. I'm still not a perfect husband. I was pretty much a lousy husband for the first 10 years or so of our marriage. I didn't understand what being a husband was. I didn't have a model in front of me of a day by day. I saw what I saw on television. I saw movies. And trust me, if you're patterning yourself after movies, you're in trouble. And it took me a long time to figure it out, and it was Lynette and I working it out. And I've had to repent of an awful lot of stuff over the years of our marriage. And I just say that because I know that, guys, it's hard for us to say, I'm sorry. Some of us would rather gargle razor blades than apologize. But let me tell you something, guys. When you know you're wrong, it's time to tell your wife, I'm sorry. And not just I'm sorry, because of a lot of us are like the 5-year-old on the playground. You hit Johnny, tell him you're sorry. Sorry. You're not sorry. You're just plotting how to do it again and not get caught. No. I'm sorry. Really, an apology should carry with it the idea that I recognize what I did wrong and I will not ever do that again. That's how you're truly sorry. If you're just saying sorry to get yourself out of trouble or get yourself out of Dutch, save your breath to blow your suit. Gary Smalley did research and he came up with 5 love languages that rule our relationships. And again, this is a recap of what we had a couple of weeks ago, but I want to give them to you anyway. The first type of love is words of affirmation. These are ways that you give love and receive love. The first is words of affirmation. A steady stream of compliments. Now, I'm going to give guys, I'm going to help you out here. Gentlemen, I'm going to help you out from one of the sexiest books of the Bible. You have to be over 18 to read it. Song of Solomon. Every junior high in the room is going to go read it. I've got to read this now. There's sex in it. Honestly, when I was youth pastor, I got the wild idea. I don't know where. I should teach on Song of Solomon to junior hires. No. It's stupid. There's the word breasts in Song of Solomon. Okay, you can't say that word with junior hires and not have it just like go over the edge. So guys, here we go. Song of Solomon 4:1. This is the guy talking to his wife. Oh, how beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veil are doves. Oh, that sounds good. Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from Mount Gilead. Lynette, your hair is like a flock of goats. I love this one. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep just shorn, coming up from a washing. Each has its twin. Not one of them is alone. Congratulations, honey. You got all your teeth. Your lips are like a scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like the halves of a pomegranate. What, purple and bumpy? I don't know what that part is. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built with elegance. On it hang 1,000 shields, all of them shields of warriors. I don't know. I honestly don't. Song of Solomon 7:4. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes are the pools of Heshbon by the gates of Beth Rabim. Your nose is like the Tower of Lebanon, looking toward Damascus. Did he just tell her she had a big nose, like a tower? And she's like, oh, tell me more, my sweetheart. Now, guys, you may not be able to carry this off. I'm using the hair like goats thing. I think it's a cool thing. Your hair is like goats descending from a hill. Okay, but you get the point. Guys, when's the last time you complimented your wife? And not with an eye toward something else. Not like, oh, baby, you look good. Okay, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just out of the blue, you know, baby, you look really nice today. Now, ladies, I will tell you, one of the reasons we don't do that is because of what invariably happens next. Honey, you look good today. Don't I look good every day? Ladies, gentlemen, that was your chance to say amen, and you blew it. Because you're all scared. You know what? Maybe the best song, best from a Song of Solomon is this. Solomon 4:7. All beautiful you are, my darling. There is no flaw in you. Gentlemen, that'll preach. You better write that down. The next is quality time. Quality time means giving someone your full attention. It means looking at each other while they're talking, not muting ESPN and watching the highlights. Yeah, honey, that's great. So the dog, what? The dog what? Guys, turn off the TV, put the newspaper down, talk to your wife. Ladies, learn the time. 2 minutes ago, fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, not a good time to say, honey, we need to talk. The only thing that should be talked about that time is either, honey, I want to bring you more dip and chips, or the house is on fire, we're all about to die. Even then, we'll say, let's just hope there's only 2 minutes left. Spend quality time together. Do something together. My wife and I just like to go do stuff. Our idea of a vacation is just to go hang out. People talking about going to Hawaii. You know what we do? We go rent a cabin in the mountains. We just hang out. Friday, we got out of town. We drove to Orange County. We just hung out together. Went to the Orange County Fair, walked around. There's nothing cooler than just being with my wife. I don't need a night out with the boys. She's a lot prettier. My wife's my best friend, and I just like hanging out with her. Guys, we need to develop that. Find a hobby you can do together. Find something you can do at the same time. One recent study said that in a typical week, the average married couple spends 37 minutes together. 37 minutes. We've got to do better than that, guys. We've got to. Next is receiving gifts. This way of expressing love is understood by saying that person was thinking about me. Guys, I buy flowers, take them home, and the lady at the store, almost always the person says, oh, somebody's in trouble. No, I'm taking flowers to my wife because she's my wife. I'm not in trouble. And if I'm in trouble, flowers aren't going to help. Better be something else on the side of those flowers. I think I've told this before about a guy that is with his buddy, and they says, hey, come on over to the house for dinner. So he goes over to his house, and as he stops on the way, he gets a bouquet of flowers, and he asks his buddy, he says, are you in trouble? He says, no, I do this all the time. He says, it makes marriage sweet. They get to their house. He opens the door. The wife comes up. He hands her the flowers. He says, hi, baby. I've been thinking about you all day. I just want you to know I love you. Oh. So the guy's watching this. He's thinking, you know what? I'm going to do that. So on his way to his house, he stops and he gets a dozen roses and he walks in the front door and his wife's there. He hands her the flower. She says, oh, what? And he says, hey, baby, I just want you to know I thought about you all day and I love you. She just bursts into tears. He says, what's wrong? She said, this has been a horrible day. The wash machine broke. Johnny got into a fight in school and now you come home drunk. May not always go that way. Guys, there is no more impractical gift you can buy your wife than a dozen roses. But sometimes it's the impracticality of it that means the most. Stopping on the way home and buying your wife a new vacuum cleaner, not the same thing. Not the same thing. Physical displays of affection. And all the guys said, oh yeah, preach it, brother. But you know what? It's not what we think. Guys, physical display of affection has to be in a way that is, let's just say it, non-sexual. Take your wife's hand while you watch a movie. Walk up behind her and give her a neck massage. Something just to let her know that you crave that physical closeness with her. And not just because you hope it leads to something else, just because you enjoy being with her. Acts of service, actions that express a willingness to meet daily needs. Guys, taking out the trash or doing the dishes. You know, your wife's had a long week of work and you cooked dinner that night. And again, men, you have to know your limitations. If you're not a good cook, stop somewhere and pick something up. Okay? Or just grab everybody and say, you know what, guys? Time to go to dinner. Let's go. Get in the car. Don't let them choose. You'll end up at Chuck E. Cheese. If I were to go to hell, it would be a Chuck E. Cheese. I'm just telling you right now. Fire and brimstone, not really, would not be as bad as a Chuck E. Cheese on a busy Saturday afternoon. 35 million screaming kids. No thanks. So, two things that happen here. You need to determine the love language of your spouse, and they need to determine yours. So, here are some questions you need to ask. What do others do which hurt me the most? If it's the fact that people won't do acts of service for you, that's probably one of your love languages, because the way you receive love is the way you often give love. And so if you don't feel that, you may have a problem with that. And then, what do you request most from others in your significant relationships? And then finally, how do you most consistently express love in your most significant relationships? Because the way that you give love is quite often the way you receive love. Here's the problem. Men and women don't speak the same language. So if you're going to talk about giving, a lot of us will try to love our spouses the way we want to be loved, and that may not be the way they receive love. So what I want you to do, and I told you to do this 2 weeks ago. I made to do this, by the way. You made your list of your top love languages, and you exchanged lists. You did it? Cool. Did it help? Well, I want to talk about that later. Yeah. Because here's the thing. If Lynette, my wife, if she most feels love in me, you know, doing acts of service for her, then that's the way I need to show her how I love her. And if I get most of my love from physical affection, then I shouldn't give her physical affection and think that that's going to be the best for her. It's not. Here's the thing. Marriage, love is all about, relationships are all about giving. What the other person needs, not what we need. I need to love Lynette the way she loves, the way she accepts love. Isn't that great? We could stop right here and you guys would be okay. Do this. It works. Trust me. Second thing, women need clear communication. Guys, I'm sure I'm not going to blow anybody's brain here by saying that women love to communicate. I think the survey I read once said something about women using something like 20,000 to 30,000 words a day. Guys, like 6,000 or 7,000. You know, we use them all up at work. We come home, our wives still have like 10,000 to go, and we're done. And we just look at her like, huh. Is it over yet? Company goes over to a family's house, and the man's sitting there, and he starts eating, and he looks at his woman, his wife, and says, meat! Which is his way of saying, honey, please pass the mashed potatoes, or please pass the roast beef. And his wife said, oh, he's using his company manners. Usually he just points and grunts. I told you a couple of weeks ago about the Harvard study that studied little girls and little boys 5 years old. And everything that came out of little girls' mouths was about communication. They talked about things. They planned everything. They talked about things. What came out of little boys' mouths? Car noises, gun noises, and animal noises. Think about it. Ladies, when you were a kid, what'd you do? You played dolls, and you chatted back and forth. You needed doll stuff, and the dolls were always talking to each other. What did guys do? We blew stuff up. We hit people. We played baseball. We played football. We did things that involved some sort of violence. I did, anyway. We used to build model boats for the sole purpose of blowing them up in the creek that went past our house. And if you've never seen a model boat with an M80 in the smokestack sailing down a creek and then all of a sudden be obliterated, you have not lived. As an 11-year-old boy, there is nothing cooler than that. Every one of my G.I. Joes was missing a limb. They were all hurt in action. They all had purple hearts. We threw them off roofs. Ladies had, little girls had dolls, and the dolls had little marriages and boy, yeah, we didn't do that stuff. Woman gets a phone call. She's on the phone for 30 minutes when it's all over with. Her husband says, who's on the phone? She said, I don't know. It was the wrong number. Guys can talk on the phone to their best friend they haven't seen in 20 years. How you doing? Yeah. Hang up. What'd you talk about? I don't know. Stuff. We're just different. Women talk to express emotions. Men talk to solve problems. For the most part. Women talk to express emotions. Men most often talk to solve problems. If men and women don't understand this, we have problems. Husbands and wives, we have problems. Guys, you've got to learn to listen to your wife. And by listen, I mean listen. Not just stare straight ahead and think about the score of the Bears game and hope that your wife thinks that you're listening. Amen or ouch. Why do women need communication? Because they have a need for intimacy. And their need for intimacy most often is expressed in communication. Philippians 2:4 says, don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and in what they're doing. Husbands, don't just think about your own stuff, but be interested in your wife and in what she is doing. Ladies, I told you I'd take care of you. Number three, and the men are all going to hate me when we're done. Number three, women need clear commitment. Women assess commitment in three primary ways. First of all, is sympathetic love. Sympathy doesn't mean that you always agree with how a person feels, or even that you understand how they feel. It just means that you have learned to value their opinion and their emotions. When somebody asked Albert Einstein's wife if she understood the theory of relativity, she said, no, but I understand Einstein. She didn't have to understand the theory of relativity, or be able to say it even. She just needed to understand her husband. Look, Lynette and I have things we talk about all the time, and we say, I don't understand. I have no idea. Here's the thing. I just took my Volkswagen, a 68 Beetle, took it in to a guy to put dual carburetors on it. Because carburetor is French for leave it the heck alone. Okay, I don't touch carburetors. I don't mess with them. But if I'm talking to a guy, and I'm telling him about my problem with my carburetor, I'm not telling him just so he can feel my pain. I don't want him just to say, oh, Jerry, well, how did that make you feel? Oh, I too have had carburetor troubles, Jerry. And no, I want you to grab a screwdriver and help me fix this stupid thing because I can't do it by myself. Ladies don't want us to fix their problems, guys. Does it make sense? No. But it is what it is. They want us to feel what they're feeling. I don't get it. For the life of me, why are you telling me something if you don't want to fix it for you? But my wife, there's a real thin line between bravery and stupidity. You got to be careful which side of that line you're on there, Jess. Yeah, exactly. Crossing that. I don't understand why she wants me, but see, she needs to feel that I feel what she's going through. Not that I think she's so stupid that she can't fix it herself. Ask me how long it took me to figure that out. I've married 32 years. It might have been last week. I don't know. Look, guys, it's tough. But that's what we're there for. We're there. Why? Because that's how she expresses emotion. That's how she feels love. Don't think about your own affairs. Think about others. Stephen Covey said, seek first to understand and then be understood. I don't have to understand everything about my wife, but she needs to feel like one way or another, I care about what happens to her. It's believed now, scientists believe, that women need to converse almost twice as many words a day as a man does. Women are made to be more relational. Secondly, satisfying love. This is loving others in a way that's satisfying to them. Again, back to the five love languages. How does your wife feel satisfied by being loved? It's through emotion, it's through talking, it's through acts of service, it's through giving of gifts. Whatever it is, it's got to feel satisfying to her. I do wonder if God has a sense of humor sometimes. He said that the two should become one flesh. And then he gets two people that are so opposite that to become one flesh literally means that somebody has to die, I think. Dan Fogelberg wrote a song years ago that said the two become one, but the argument is over who's the one they're going to become. We need to be the people who replenish what our wives lose. Guys, every one of us runs into people that just drain us. Just drain us. Gordon MacDonald wrote a book years ago about restoring your spiritual passion, and he talked about VDP, very draining people. That when you're done talking to them, you're physically exhausted because it's just such an emotional roller coaster to talk to them. If your wife is very emotional, if she's good at talking and feeling emotions of other people, she can be depleted by the people she deals with every day. Guys, it's up to us to put that back into her. Third way is sanctifying love. Sanctification is a big theological word that means to cleanse something to the point of make it ceremonially clean. In the Jewish faith, it meant to make something pure. In human relationships, it means influencing someone to be better. Husbands, your spiritual life, should it make your wife want to be better? The movie As Good As It Gets, Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt are talking back and forth, and she said, give me a compliment. He refused to give her a compliment. Finally, she says, give me a compliment. She said, okay. He said, okay, you make me want to be a better man. I think she tells him that's the sweetest thing anybody's ever told her. Guys, your relationship with your wife should make her want to be a better woman. Finally, women need a relationship with God. It is crucial that we talk about this. Ladies, this is the part where I talk to you. And I know that some of you are in relationships where you feel more spiritual than your husband. I get that. Some of you may be married to someone who's not a Christian. That happens too. It is vital for you to know how important your relationship with God is. It's vital for you to know that your life, your spirit must be fulfilled, and your husband can't do all of it. A lot of times we look for other people to fill in the parts of us that only God can fill. Ladies, if you got married hoping that your husband would fulfill every need of your life, you're going to be sadly mistaken for the rest of your life, because there are places in your life men can't fill. There are needs in your life. There are emotions in your life that husbands can't fill. That can only come from God. Somehow, though, we've kind of gotten over the years the idea that women are secondary spiritual creatures. Somehow women, the relationship with women to God is not as important as the husband's relationship to God, and nothing could be further from the truth. Women have been vital to God's message all along. Guys will look at the Garden of Eden and say, oh, well, see, woman messed up. Well, Adam could have said no. Hello? And then great spiritual leader that Adam was, when God said, hey, what happened? Adam said, oh, well, the woman you gave me an apple. It's like, okay, it's not my fault, God. It's the woman, and you did it. I was doing fine, just me and the animals, and then you gave me this woman. I did hear of a guy they were talking in church, and there was a big argument between the men and the women. And finally, one woman stood up and said, where would you men be without us women? And the guy looked at her and said, in the Garden of Eden, sister. We'd have been lonely, but we'd have been there. I want you to think for a minute how significant women were in Scripture. If there had never been a Sarah, the children of Israel would never have been born. When the children of Israel left the slavery of Egypt, they were led by Moses, but without his sister Miriam, he wouldn't have survived childhood. In the book of Judges, the darkest period of Jewish history, the people are led by wicked and corrupt men, yet Deborah, the only judge who was a woman, was a godly influence, and Israel benefited from her leadership. In the New Testament, the first person told of the coming of Jesus Christ to this world was a young teenage woman named Mary. First person to receive the gospel of Christ on the continent of Europe was a woman named Lydia. She was a successful businesswoman in the city of Philippi, and was won to Christ by the Apostle Paul. The first people to learn about the resurrection of Christ were not the disciples, but women like Mary Magdalene. They were at the grave early on Sunday morning while Peter, James, and John and the others were hiding away in a secret room. What's the point? Women are vital to God. Ladies, God puts a lot of trust in you. There's no mistake in God's plan that women raise children. And guys are just there and help. Women bear children, they nurture children. Why? Because men are not good nurturers by nature. My kids go to my wife with a scrape. My grandkids go to my wife with a scrape. She looks at it, she kisses it, she puts a little Band-Aid on it. I look at it, oh, nice trophy, dude. Chicks dig scars, you'll be all right. Dad, I'm hungry. All right, go find something. There's nothing in here but cheese. All right, cheese is good. Eat it. It's got fur on it. Cut the fur part off. Dad, there's no bowls for cereal. Yeah, there is. We've got mixing bowls under the counter. There's no spoons. There's a wooden spoon. Grab it. There's no milk. You're on your own, Sparky. Christianity is responsible for elevating women in our society and should be doing it even more. Ladies, I'll be honest with you, most churches would fall apart without your leadership. Now, as a man, as a guy who wants to lead men, I think that's not the way it should be, because guys, we should be taking that role. Amen? Guys, we should be more leaders than we are, more servants than we are, but thank God for women. And there are things in the church that women do that men can't do. Women are much more sensitive. The few times my wife has had an uneasy feeling about something we've done spiritually, like going to pastor a certain church or whatever, in the end, she's almost always been right. Guys, we need to treasure the women that God has given us. Guys, we need to show our wives that not only do we love them, we adore them. They are like a piece of jewelry. They are like something that we can't do without. Guys, I want to encourage you to talk to the women in your life. And teenage guys, I'm talking about talking to your mom. I'm talking about talking to your people that you love and telling them how much you care about them. Praying for them. Worrying about their spirituality. Worrying about their walk with Christ. Modeling to them what it should be. Women need the Lord because of so many hats they wear. Three women I know best in my life: my mom, my grandma, and my wife. I started thinking about all the roles they have, and I think they've had 17 roles. That's what I came up with, 17. Listen to this. My cook, my nurse, my counselor, my policeman, my clothier, my gardener, my interior decorator, photographer, secretary, educator, financial planner, cheerleader, spiritual advisor, chauffeur, seamstress, telephone operator, maid, and at one time or another, they've all thought they were my boss. Ladies, you got so many hats to wear, you better have God's help, because you can't do it without him. I leave you with this, ladies. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Ladies, you need to find your rest in God. Gentlemen, we need to make that easier for them. We need to treasure the women God has given us. And guys, I have every belief that some of you have to go home and make some amends. And you know what? That's okay. Put on your big boy pants. Go home. Suck it up, buttercup. And make your world better. Make your home better. Make your home more godly. Make your life more in line with Scripture. And see what God does. You'll be amazed. Finish the work
you have started in me. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.